ask for an interest in your prayers this morning. I'm sorry to do this. I picked a scab during prayer, and my wife told me my earlobe had a little blood on it, so excuse me. I was sitting in my seat a while ago thinking that it just seemed a little unusually quiet this morning here in service. And I guess that's okay. I know the Lord wants us to be happy and joyful and give our thanksgivings. And I guess it's okay to be quiet at times. But it did seem a little quiet to me. Maybe just more of a little sober atmosphere this morning. And I don't expect any of you to stand up and hoop and holler and raise your hands and try to be noticed, but I will ask that you would say a prayer for us this morning. I really would like the Lord to meet with us here this morning, be with me here this morning. It's a little challenging. I don't know if Brother Eric will agree with me. Sometimes it gets challenging to preach to a quiet crowd. And just be in agreement with us in your heart. Pray for us. And let's ask the Lord to bless. I'd like to start off by reading a couple scriptures in Romans 12th chapter. Romans 12th chapter, we'll read these first two verses, verses 1 and 2. It says, this is Paul talking, Paul speaking to, I believe he was in Corinth at the time, and I believe this whole book of Romans, this was a letter penned to the saints there in Rome, the Roman church, and this is him speaking to them. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So here we have Paul speaking to the saints there in Rome. And many believe that these were saints that had formed some congregations, had formed some churches, and they were kind of spread out. Maybe didn't really have a deep understanding of sound doctrine, and Paul is beseeching them. He's imploring upon them. He's entreating them, and just trying to give them some good guidance and some good direction through as they live their lives and try to grow closer to the Lord. And he says, "I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice." And that would be the title of my message this morning, A Living Sacrifice. When we think of a sacrifice, many of the commentators feel that maybe Paul was referring in his mind and as he was penning this letter to those there in Rome, that he was thinking back to under the old law when that was their requirement, that was what they were required to do, was to have a sacrifice. When they would bring an animal, whatever that animal would be, they would bring that animal to the priest, And the priest would offer up that animal on this person's behalf. So if we think back to that time and we think about those stories that we've read and those situations that we've read and the direction that those people were to take when they brought that animal, it couldn't be just any old animal. It had to be the best of the best. It had to be an animal. In many of the stories we read that it had to be an animal that didn't have any blemishes, any imperfections, no extra. I mean, when you hear these rare cases, an extra ear or an extra limb or something, but it had to be something that was special to that person. If we think what these animals meant to these people. I mean, this was their livelihood. This was how they made their living. They depended on their flocks and their herds, and they put a lot of time and effort into growing their herds over the years and how they would breed their animals and how they would get better and better. And they were always to go and choose the best that they had. And that's what they were required to bring to the priest in order to be sacrificed for them. So here Paul says that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice. So Paul is telling them that it is our duty as children of God, that as they presented those animals then, that we are to present ourselves, our bodies, to the Lord. And he's telling them, this is what the Lord wants of you. This is what the Lord is requiring of you. That you present yourself to Him without blemish, without imperfections, holy and pure. And not only the presenting of the body to God implies not only the avoiding of sins, but also the use of the body or the using of the body as a servant in the service of God. And how do we use our bodies in the service of God? Well, we are to glorify God with our bodies. We are to engage in service to Him in duties of worship. To be in those places that He wants us to be in. That is sacrifice. To be willing to suffer with our bodies, as those animals had to suffer. There might be times in life when we are required to suffer, as those animals had to suffer. To give of myself. Present your bodies a living sacrifice. To give of myself. I think in this day and time, and when we say to give of myself and to be a living sacrifice, no, I don't believe any of us would take it to mean that we are literally going to go out and build an altar of stone and get some wood and go lay up on it, and that we are going to get someone to come over with a knife, or we're going to slash and cut ourselves, not to burn ourselves, nothing like that, but to give ourselves, to be a living sacrifice to the Lord, is to have a body and a heart that is sincerely devoted to God. That's what a living sacrifice is. That I give Him everything that I have, as inconvenient and as uncomfortable as it may be. That's what He wants from me, is me. My body, my will, and my heart. And it's Christ living in me that I'm able to be that living sacrifice. There's a scripture over in Galatians. It says, I am crucified with Christ. So Christ was crucified. Let me die to self. I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. So I can still live even though I've been crucified. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. Christ living in me is the only way that I'm going to be able to be that living sacrifice that God wants me to be. The body, the sacrifice, must be holy. Paul said, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God. Our bodies must be holy and acceptable unto God, before God. And this nature and the will of this body must be conformed to the nature and the will of God. I think if we think back to the temple and the vessels that were in the temple and how they were set apart, instruments that were used for God in His service, instruments that was their purpose, that's all they were used for, not vessels of sin and uncleanliness, but vessels that were set apart, just as those vessels in the temple were. He wants a vessel. He wants me to be a vessel that is pure, that is holy, that can be used for His service. Paul goes on to say, "And be not conformed to this world." I'd like to speak to that a little bit. Be not conformed to this world. And I think this second verse, this is how we must be in order to be a living sacrifice. I think of the word conformed. I was thinking of silly putty. If you've ever had a good quality silly putty, or held silly putty in your hand, how easy it is to squish and to move around. And I've always liked to take silly putty and roll it up in a ball. It's easy to roll up in a ball and it gets all nice, pretty, and smooth. But have you ever set silly putty on a counter or a flat surface and walked away? And then you come back, however, a few minutes or an hour or two later, and see the shape that silly putty has taken on. Or if you've ever taken your silly putty, and a lot of times they come in the little egg-shaped containers, and you put it in that egg-shaped container, and you go to open that, how it takes on the shape of that container. It conforms. It conforms to what it's being placed in. It conforms to its surroundings. Paul says, "Be not conformed to this world." I found that very challenging, that I not be conformed to the things I'm around, to this world that I'm a part of, that I not be conformed to this world around me. I told a story about a month ago, maybe a little longer. It's been a little bit longer than that. On a Wednesday evening, and I'd like to relay that story to you again. Several months ago, at my job, there was a group of people in a room, and as a lot of people do and don't think anything about it, they were using some language that they didn't have to be using. They just some language, just language. I believe you know what I mean by that. And they were going around the room. It was just in their conversation. They weren't thinking anything about it, I'm sure. It was just who they were and what they were doing. And our supervisor was right around the corner, and she heard this. She hears really well. She's not very far away, and she heard this language. Well, she called a couple of them out, and they got called into her office, and I believe we use a term, they got a letter in their file. They got written up because it wasn't the first time that she had said something. And a few of them got in trouble for it. And a couple weeks went by, and they were very disgruntled about that. And a couple weeks went by, and supervisor wasn't there at this particular instance, but they began, they brought this up, that this had happened previously 2 weeks before. They brought this time up, and they started talking about it among themselves, and they got all flustered and aggravated again about it. And I was sitting there and listening. Boy, they were just griping and complaining how she was being unfair and unreasonable, and that she had given them letters in their file. And I mean, and she wasn't there, and they took advantage of it. And boy, the language was just flying around the room, and why they vented and were showing their frustration. And they just could not understand. Their excuse was, we are adults. We should be allowed to do this. It was just us in the room. Wouldn't no professional CEOs or anybody else in the room with us. We should be allowed to do this. And one comment they made was, it's and I was here in the room listening, one comment they made, they said, well, it's not like we had any preachers with us. And that caught my attention. And my first thought was, well, Lord help me. No, they don't know I'm a preacher. I just haven't seen fit to tell them. I'm just in this situation. I'm of the mind that my life should be an example. With that same thought, I thought, well, is my life being the example? Or do they just see me as one of them? Am I just one of the guys? Have I conformed to their, do they think that I've conformed to their way of thinking and their actions and what they do? So it was a challenge to me when I heard that. Lord help me that I not be involved in the things that they're in, that I might not be conformed to the things that they do and the things that they say. Because if I take on that, if I take on that mindset and that type of mouth, then I certainly can't be the living sacrifice that the Lord wants me to be. Because He said He's only going to accept that is pure and holy. So just a few weeks ago, if I can add a second part to that story, again, I've been challenged on that. And I really felt like I was making progress. And that, man, I hadn't come out and told him I was a preacher, or that, you know, we slipped in some conversations that, yeah, we have service 3 times a week, and they thought that was way too much service to go to 3 times a week. But I've just dropped little tidbits here and there. But just a couple weeks ago, pretty much the same people were all sitting in the room, and that conversation came back up again. Oh, the supervisor's not there again, and the conversation came back up. And they just began talking about the things that we will do, and when we'll do them, knowing we can get away with them. And so the conversation went to bad things that people do, just through life, the bad things that people do, and the sins that people commit every day. And different people were going around the room, and they were saying some of the bad things that they had done or that they were currently doing, and they weren't too ashamed of it. It just seemed part of their everyday living. And one of the guys looked at me, and they said, Chad, they said, do you do any bad things? I said, I try not to. And they said, oh, come on. They said, surely there's something bad that you do. I said, really, I try not to. And they know I don't do your smoke and drink. They know I don't do those. And they said, well, do you even cuss? And I consider one of my best friends at work, he was sitting right beside me. He says, well, sure he does. I hear him all the time. And my defenses went up really, really quick. And I told this guy, I said, I do not. I mean, I got really defensive. I said, I do not. He's like, sure you do. He goes, I hear you all the time. And the guy's name is Colby, and maybe he's listening, maybe he's not. I doubt it. I said, Colby, I said, dude, I promise you. I was desperate, I felt like. I said, I promise you. I don't. He's like, man, I'm sure I've heard you. Again, I was checked. I said, Lord, am I doing things in my life? Am I conforming again to what you previously checked me on? Am I conforming to the things around me, the situations that I find myself in life? Is it affecting me in a negative enough way that I will testify to you that I don't use that type of language, but is my actions Is there doubt in my act? I mean, are they doubtful that in their minds, am I acting in a way that makes them think that, he does that too? Well, I went on with my defense. And finally, the guy who asked the question, he said, well, you know what? He said, man, I don't think I ever have heard him cuss. And at that time, I thought he was my best friend. He had my back at that minute. And the conversation kind of ended there. But I thought, Lord, help me not to come up against things in life and react in such a way that make people question. I want people to be able to look at my life, as I'm sure you do. You want people to be able to look at your life and be able to say, they may not have much understanding, but I'm telling you, most people have a good understanding of what is right and what is wrong. And I don't want to be conformed to the things around me and in the world around me that they have to question my life. Because I want to be able to be that living sacrifice. So Paul goes on to say, be not conformed to this world. Don't let the world shape and mold you. Don't take on the world's ideas. Don't take on the world's way of thinking. Don't become what the world is. But be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. I believe Paul is saying here, see to it that a change has taken place. Make sure that a conversion has taken place. Make sure that something has happened. Make sure that old things are put away and become new. Make sure that something has happened, that I have different thought patterns, not like those around me, that I have different thought patterns, different thought processes, thoughts toward God, not of self. Making sure that my will, that's what sacrifice is about. Giving something. Making sure that the will of this flesh is now bowed and given to the will of God and what He wants in my life. So that when He says the renewing of the mind, so that this renewing of this mind is a renewing of me, of who I am. Who I am as a person, that this heart is renewed, that there has been a change taking place. Setting ourselves apart, I mentioned that, but to set ourselves apart, to be different than the world, to be used of God, we must keep ourselves set apart. You know, I know there is something in each and every one of us that wants to be liked and wants to be accepted. It's tough sometimes. It gets uncomfortable sometimes. I remember in my my teenage years, I always felt that I could adapt easily. And in this case, it's not a good thing. But I felt like that when I was with this crowd over here, that, and let's just say friends of the world, that I knew just enough of the conversations, just enough of the world's music and the world's entertainment, that I knew just enough that when I was with this crowd that I could be part of that crowd. I knew just enough that I could be in their conversations and I could feel accepted. But then, on the flip side of that, and you know, and growing up through my teenage years, my mom had me in service, and I enjoyed my friends that I grew up with. I enjoyed being in those crowds. And again, I said I felt like I could adapt easily. And I'm not saying this in this situation it's not a good thing, but I felt like I could go. I was good at going back and forth. It was easy to be part of one crowd, and it was easy to be part of another crowd. Was it honest? No. Be not conformed to the world. Now, I thank the Lord, as I've gotten older, He has showed me what it means to not be conformed to the world and to be honest with ourselves, to be honest with those around us, and to really decide where we're at and where we want to be, what crowd we want to be with. And I thank the Lord that He's helped me through that and helped me with that. But being different so that we can be that holy and acceptable living sacrifice. And my mind, in my studying, my mind went to our teenagers. And I know it's, as young adults, it's tough. I've already said it's uncomfortable. It's hard not to be drawn into those crowds. It's hard to have to learn how to start to work, to start to go to those jobs every day. If you're not self-employed and you find yourself in those situations, it's tough to not to want to fit in. It's tough not to want to go along with. You know, I know if you'll let me use some of their lingo, it's at those times where we're with those kind of people, serving the Lord might not seem really cool. You know, and I know these crowds can talk about things and do things that seem kind of cool. And they can be seen to having a lot of fun and really enjoying themselves. And that's not to say that there's no fun and enjoyment in living for the Lord. We sing songs. There is joy in the service of the Master. That's other thoughts. But remember what the Lord wants from us. He wants a living sacrifice. He wants a people, a person. He wants me. He wants you to be a person that is willing to give everything they have to this cause, to Him. And to do that, I'm going to have to separate. I'm going to have to distance myself. Not literally, maybe sometimes literally, but in my heart and in my thoughts, I might have to distance myself from the things around me. The world can take on a mindset, and most of the time does, of how to appease the flesh. What can I do to be noticed? What can I do to have fun? Lord, help us to not have that selfish mindset, that everything's not about us, that sacrifice is about giving of myself, giving of my time, if that's what the Lord wants, going those places that He wants me to go, just being in His service and using my body and my abilities to glorify Him. The last part of that second verse says that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You know, the will of God is good and it is perfect. And I believe it is His desire that we live out our lives in such a way that proves to those around us, that proves to others that His will is good and that His will for me is perfect. And that if I follow that will and if I continue to make that that is my mindset, that I want to do and that I want to give everything I can to the Lord, there is a reward for those that do that. Thank the Lord for the reward that awaits us, for being willing to be a living sacrifice. Again, it may not be easy, and this is just encouragement. It may be uncomfortable. There may be some suffering involved, but any time that I found myself in a tough place, and I know I've heard many others say this, as soon as I find myself in a tough place, and I think that I don't know if I can give in this area anymore, I don't know if I can do this anymore, I feel stretched thin, I think of the suffering that our Lord went through. And we heard a little bit about it this morning, the thorns being pressed down into His head. And the minute that I put my thoughts in that direction, and I give that some time and really think about that, all the suffering that he went through, all the times that he was laughed at and looked down upon, the times that he was whipped and the crowns were pressed in his head, he suffered. And then I feel ashamed for even thinking that I was suffering. He was our ultimate sacrifice. I'm not saying anything we don't know. I'm saying this to remind us this morning that he was the ultimate sacrifice. He gave everything he had. Everything he had. His heart, his body, his soul. He gave it up for sin. Can I not be a living sacrifice for him? Can I not suffer just a little bit? Can I not go through those uncomfortable places in life? Can I not be willing to give just a little bit more? Just a little bit more. Press a little bit harder. When I think that I've come to the end and I can't go anymore, can I press a little bit more? Can I deepen down just a little bit more? Can I live my life in such a way that proves to those around me that there is a different way? That you can live life and not do the bad things. That you can live life and know you don't have to sin. This body does not have to give in to sin. Lord, help me live my life in a way that let people know, that can prove what the Lord can do. Lord, help us to be pure and holy, that we can be that living sacrifice that He wants us to be. Y'all pray for me.